welcome to Unpacking iOS. My name is Jonathan Wiley, and in this week's episode, I'm taking a look at Apple's iPad lineup and thinking about, specifically, the role of the iPad Pro. Who exactly needs an iPad Pro, and what are the advantages that it has over the other iPad models? Well, I have some thoughts on that, so let's start unpacking. You may have heard that Apple released two new iPads recently. Those came out in March this year. There is a new iPad Air and a new iPad Mini. And this means that you now have five different iPads to choose from if you're looking for a new device. I think for some people that might be kind of confusing, but when you break it down, it's actually easier than you might think because each one is aimed at a different type of user and each one is sold, as you might guess, at a different price point. The 9.7-inch iPad was introduced at what was basically an education-focused event in March 2018, and it was designed to give schools an affordable alternative to Chromebooks, which, at least in the US, are really taking over the school device scene in terms of what schools are buying. But it quickly became popular with consumers too because it retails at $329 and is often found on sale for, you know, as little as $249 at places like Amazon or Best Buy. Now, that 9.7-inch iPad is built to a price, but it's still more than adequate for the majority of tasks that people use an iPad for. And it also supports the first generation Apple Pencil. The new iPad Mini that came out in March 2019 has a 7.9-inch screen, same as the one before it, but the previous generation iPad Mini was hard to recommend because it hadn't been updated for at least 3 years. The new iPad Mini has the same A12 Bionic processor that is found in the iPhone XS and the XS Max, so that makes it a really fast and capable tablet. The iPad Mini has a better, although smaller, display than the 9.7-inch iPad. It has better cameras too, and you can get it with up to 256GB of storage, where the 9.7-inch iPad maxes out at 128GB. The iPad Mini also supports first-generation Pencil and is available from $399. So this is the option for people who are looking for a compact, lightweight, small device. Next, we have the 10.5-inch iPad Air, which was released at the same time as the 2019 iPad Mini. In terms of specs, it's basically identical to the iPad Mini. It's got the same processor, the same cameras, the same display technologies. However, for $100 more, you do get a larger screen. So it's 10.5 inches compared to the 7.9 on the iPad Mini. And you even get the option to add Apple's Smart Keyboard because of the Smart Connector that is included on the 10.5-inch iPad Air. So that one starts at $499. And then we have the main course. We have the iPad Pro. It's the next step up. And if you're buying an iPad, this is the best iPad that Apple makes. So, as you might expect, there are things you find on this iPad that you don't find on the other iPads. Some of these features will matter more to some people than others, so to help weigh up the pros and cons of an iPad Pro, I'm going to just run through quickly here the features that make it unique in the iPad lineup, the things that it has that the other iPads don't have. And the first thing to talk about, I think, is the screen size. If you want the biggest screen available, the iPad Pro is the one to get. You can have an iPad Pro with 11-inch screen or a 12.9-inch screen. Now that screen also comes with the best quality you can expect on an iPad. It has something called a 120Hz refresh rate. That means you have a buttery smooth scrolling on web pages and apps. Apple calls this ProMotion technology, and it is the only device that Apple makes that uses ProMotion. You don't find it on Macs or iMacs or anything else. Only the iPad Pro has ProMotion. It also has Face ID. The new design of the iPad Pro meant that the home button was sacrificed in favor of Face ID and those slimmer bezels you get all the way around the outside of the device. The new facial recognition uses 3D sensors to unlock your iPad with your face when you look at it. The iPad Pro has an A12X processor. This CPU is the most powerful mobile chip that Apple has ever made. And in fact, if you look at some of the benchmarks where people are measuring the speed of this processor, you will see that it's faster than a MacBook, it's faster than a MacBook Air, and it's faster than most of the MacBook Pro models. So this iPad is no slouch. The second generation Apple Pencil was designed to work exclusively with the new iPad Pro. It has automatic pairing, wireless charging, and it is stored magnetically on the side of the iPad. There is also a touch zone at the bottom of the pencil that you can double tap to switch between pen modes. You can switch between a pen and an eraser or customize what that switches between. However, that second generation Apple Pencil is an optional additional purchase. It comes in at $129. The iPad Pro also has the best cameras of any iPad in the lineup. It has a 12 megapixel rear camera and a quad LED flash. It takes advantage of the same smart HDR technology that we find in those new iPhones. And the front camera can be used for portrait mode, portrait lighting, Animoji, and even Memoji. The iPad Pro is also the only iPad that supports 4K video recording. The other iPads are limited to 1080p. Now, if storage is a problem, the iPad Pro might be the best one for you because you can get it with up to 1 terabyte of storage if you need it. The cheaper iPads can't be configured with anything more than 256 gigabytes, and the 9.7 inch is limited to 128 gigabytes. The iPad Pro also has a USB-C connector instead of a Lightning connector, so if you do buy the iPad Pro, you will need some new chargers and maybe some new charging accessories. Most people think that USB-C is the future of connectivity, and Apple seem to agree, but the iPad Pro is the only iPad to have a USB-C port for charging and for accessories. If you want, you can even use this USB-C connector on your iPad Pro to charge your iPhone if you have a Lightning to USB-C cable. Then there's the Smart Folio keyboard. Apple designed the Smart Folio keyboard to make it compatible with the larger iPad Pro screens. Functionally, it doesn't really do anything more that the Smart Keyboard didn't do for the other models, but it does provide additional protection for your device because it covers the back of the iPad. It also offers 2 viewing angles. Last but not least, there are the speakers. The iPad Pro has 4 speakers, 2 on each of the short sides. The rest of the iPad lineup only have 2, so the volume is louder and fuller on an iPad Pro. So, with all that in mind, is an iPad Pro worth it? What can you do on an iPad Pro that you can't do on a regular iPad? And the answer to questions like that is, it depends. Not everyone needs an iPad Pro, but if you are a creative professional or someone that uses your iPad for more than just consumption, then the iPad Pro really can be a compelling option, especially when you consider the increasing number of apps that are optimized for the performance you get on an iPad Pro. Here's some examples of things that creative professionals are doing with iPad Pros and some apps that they are using, just to give you an idea of the type of people who can take full advantage of everything that the iPad Pro offers. Writers, bloggers, and journalists will hook up a Bluetooth keyboard or snap on that Smart Folio keyboard and happily type away all day on an iPad Pro. They're using apps like Drafts, Ulysses, Microsoft Word, or Scrivener. Those are commonplace for users like this, as are note-taking apps like GoodNotes, Notability, OneNote, and Evernote. Now, if you watch these iPad Pro commercials, you will see a lot of digital artists featuring in them, and I think they're perhaps best inclined to make full use of the Apple Pencil with apps like Procreate, Affinity Designer, Sketchbook, Concepts, and Adobe Illustrator Draw. They're just a few of the burgeoning number of drawing and sketching apps that are available for the iPad. The Apple Pencil makes that transition from paper to digital somewhat effortless, and the power of these pro-level drawing apps mean that layers and shading and compositing is easier than ever on a digital device. Professional photographers might not take all that many photos with their iPad, but they do edit, upload, and share those images using a variety of photo-centric apps like Affinity Photo, Pixelmator, Snapseed, Lightroom, and Darkroom. Adobe has even announced that a full version of Photoshop is coming to the iPad in 2019. This isn't a mobile version, this is a complete rewrite of Photoshop for the iPad with all the features and functionality that you expect on the desktop app. Videographers edit video in the same way that photographers edit images. Apple's iMovie has been a popular app to start with, but newer additions like LumaFusion and Splice are becoming increasingly popular. And for those that are interested in recording that 4K video on the iPad Pro, you can use things like Filmic Pro for getting all the manual controls that you need in order to get the best possible video. Lastly, GarageBand has been a go-to app for musicians for years now, especially because it lets you plug in MIDI instruments to record your music. However, other apps also offer this functionality and even more. Things like Blocks Wave, Minimoog, AudioShare, Reason Compact, Launchpad, Tize, and Oxy are among the huge number of music composition apps available for iPad. And when you're thinking about creating digital music, it makes sense to do it on a device as capable and flexible as the iPad Pro. So, who should buy an iPad Pro? Well, when you look at all that you can do on an iPad Pro, you would be forgiven for wondering why you might buy one of those instead of an iPad Air or an iPad Mini. After all, you can do most of the same things on both devices. And I think that if I'm truthful, I think most people would get on just fine with a cheaper iPad. For email, web browsing, social media, gaming, Netflix, you don't really need an iPad Pro. An iPad Air, an iPad Mini, even the 9.7-inch iPad are going to be fine for that kind of thing. However, if you like the larger screen and you think you can take advantage of the added performance or the unique technologies that are included on the iPad Pro, then you won't regret it. The iPad Pro is the ultimate vision of what an iPad can be, and there are an increasing number of people thinking about using it as replacement for laptops and desktop computers because it is so capable. I'm not going to say it's perfect, it's not. I mean, things like file management in particular still has a long way to go for something that's labeled as a pro machine. Multitasking could perhaps be a little more intuitive, but this is a software problem, and the iPad Pro as a hardware machine really has no peers. And the chances are good that we'll see changes made here in the iOS 13 update that's going to come in the summer. So until then, the iPad Pro remains a compelling choice for those that can get the most out of it, but also for those that just want the best iPad that is available. If you're an iPad Pro user, feel free to drop me an email at unpackingios@icloud.com or hit us up on Twitter at unpackingios. Links to everything I talked about in this episode, as well as a blog post with all of this information, can be found at unpackingios.com. So, until next time, I want to thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.